as promised earlier in the week, we have a very special extra episode, What a Girl Wants, with Molly and Trista. Jared, are you as excited for this as I am?
I am very excited. Of course, like we talked about, Trista Sutter, the original Bachelorette OG, and we also have Molly Mesnick. They'll be talking about all things dating from a female perspective. Talk about family, relationship, love, all the important stuff. So take it away, girls.
What a Girl Wants, a Hell by Suck It Dating spinoff and an iHeartRadio podcast.
Thank you, Dean and Jared. Molly and I are here. Say hi, Molly.
Hi.
And we're so excited to be able to be part of the Help I Suck at Dating little spinoff called What a Girl Wants. We definitely know what a girl wants, or we've been there, right?
Yeah, we're like the old ladies of Bachelor Nation. Yes. So I feel like we'll have a totally different perspective than all these like new, young, fresh people who come off the show.
Totally, completely. Actually, I was thinking about it and I was going to say we're the OGs, which stands for old gals.
That's so true.
We're the old gals. We're the old married ladies. But we're really excited. You know, this is my first podcast hosting. Molly does lots and lots of hosting in her radio days, right? You're with iHeartRadio in Seattle, correct?
Yeah.
So she's a pro. I'm not necessarily a pro, but we're a pro at being good friends and talking all about our experience on The Bachelor and, you know, sharing our experience with being moms, with being wives, with everything, really. We kind of share everything on Instagram, you know?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so we're going to break down the show into three little categories, three little segments. And this first segment is really talking about how we knew that our man was the one for us. And I know that a lot of people out there who are in the dating world right now, it's really hard to know if the person that you're with is the person that you want to be with forever, which is why I went on a reality show.
I know. I feel like people shouldn't be taking advice from any of us. We all went on TV to find love.
So true. We were so bad at it that we had to go on television.
Yeah, I know. God.
That is so true. But so during my season, I can talk to my season and then you can share your experience on Jason's, which, oh my gosh, I can't wait to talk to you about how it was watching the show. Let's start with that. How did you feel watching the show, your little goat recap?
Well, I could have done without it. I wasn't super thrilled that we are a part of this whole greatest seasons of all time. Like, I've relived our season for a decade straight. Hopefully now that it has been a part of this weird season they had to do because of COVID, hopefully we can like put it to bed and it never comes up ever again. Like, let's just move on. But it was kind of fun to watch it in like a condensed form, not so like it wasn't like all dragged out or anything like that. And I almost feel like when I was watching people I didn't know, you know, like it wasn't us because it's been so long. Like I don't even remember filming the show. So I don't know. It was fun to watch kind of with fresh eyes, being more mature, like further in life, you know. I don't know. It just felt like I was watching these characters that were part of a TV show.
That's so true. Oh my gosh, I felt the same way. And of course, I watched it. Did you watch it with the kids?
No. We went to like friend's house and like had lots of cocktails while we were watching. Good. Yeah, good. Yeah. But Ty, because our season is on Netflix, of course, the year of a pandemic, when everybody's watching Netflix, that's when they add our season.
Yeah, right.
So Ty watched it then. Which was super awkward and uncomfortable for me. He ultimately thought it was like boring, but I'm glad we're past that too. Like he's seen it, but Riley, she knows, obviously we've been on the show, but she doesn't need to watch that. Not yet.
Yeah, of course. She's not old enough yet. How old is she?
Seven.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Okay.
Yeah. Have your kids seen your season?
No, Blakesley watched the GOAT recap with me. And, you know, a lot of it was Alex and the first season of The Bachelor. So she was kind of, I think, weirded out by that. Like, why am I watching this guy who my mom once dated? She just, you know, in her world, it's all about me. Like, I'm her mom, Ryan's her dad. She doesn't think about me ever being a woman who was dating. You know, like, that's not something right. you think about, I don't think. So it was really kind of strange for her to watch. But she's getting to the age, she's 11. I'm sorry. I literally don't know my children's age right now. she's old enough to watch. But it was very interesting and very awkward. And yeah, I'm right there with you with wanting to kind of put it in the past.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's just weird, like, seeing, like, you don't see your parents making out with other people, you know, like, what a weird thing to watch.
So gross. Yes. So weird. Okay. So anyway, the first segment, we're going to talk about how we knew that Jason and Ryan were the ones for us. And for me, going into it, I had dated a lot. I had had 3 or 4 serious boyfriends, and I was treated not particularly perfectly in those relationships. Two of them cheated on me. And I think that I went into the show really knowing, because of my past dating experience, what I wanted in a guy. You know,
okay. So are you talking in regards to going on The Bachelor or being The Bachelorette?
Actually, both of them. Going into The Bachelor, I do have to preface it by saying I wasn't necessarily going into it for a relationship. I just wanted to go and have fun. Was that your experience too?
Yeah.
So we wanted to have a fun experience and meet people and travel and, you know, get out of our little bubble of a world that we were living at the time. So I didn't really think about it, but yes, going into it, I had had all this dating experience and knew what I was looking for. And Alex was everything kind of on paper that I felt like I wanted. Of course, they don't talk about characteristics like trustworthiness and honesty and, you know, that sort of thing. But he was intelligent. He was well-traveled. He seemed like he was a family guy. So I thought maybe we could be a match. And then when I went on to The Bachelorette, I definitely needed to hone in on the things that I was looking for so that when I actually was on the show, I could, you know, easily put the guys out of my mind who weren't checking off all the boxes, or at least most of the boxes. So for me, honesty was huge because I had been cheated on. I needed someone who I felt was very genuine, was very sincere, and was somebody that I could trust.
Okay, but how do you figure that out when you're on the show? Like, you don't know if someone's being honest and genuine. They're in this crazy situation to begin with that is so unnatural. There's no way of telling if someone's being honest or not.
You're right. But you've met Ryan, and I feel like because of who Ryan is, I could tell. I feel like whenever anyone meets Ryan, you just get this sense that he's a sincere guy. So
for sure.
It was my gut. It was listening to my gut. And of course you can't know. You're right. You can't. And I believe that about the guys that I had dated that cheated on me. I thought one of them lied to my face when I had proof that he had cheated on me, and he lied to my face, and I freaking believed him. I believed him. So it's really hard to not know whether someone is being honest or to believe them if they're being dishonest. But I feel like that's where your gut comes in, and you really have to listen to your gut and what it's telling you and whether or not you can believe the person who you're, you know, in a relationship with. So I feel like you get this intuition. You think, you know, are you drawn to him or are you drawn away from him? And with Ryan, I was drawn more to him. I knew that it was Ryan because when I was on other dates with other guys, I was thinking about him.
Yeah.
So that's when I knew. If you're in the dating scene right now and you know a few guys on Tinder or Bumble or whatever it is, and you're hanging out with a few guys, and there's one in particular that you keep thinking about, that's a good sign that he's the one, you know?
Yeah.
I
think it's also an age thing. Like, how old were you when you went on The Bachelor?
So true. I was 28 or 29. I turned 30 on The Bachelorette.
Okay, so you were older. So like you're saying, go with your gut. If you're still thinking about someone, like when I was 23, 24, the people I was thinking about all the time were the worst guys. The ones
you're so right.
Shouldn't That's have been so dating. Yeah. So I think as you get older, you start to learn more about, well, first of all, you become more confident in yourself. And so then you know what you need, what you want. But like I went on The Bachelor when I was 24. I was the youngest girl on our season. Didn't know that. Yes. And Jason and I laughed about this last night. Like I used to tell him while we were filming, like, I know I'm 24 and I know I'm young, but I'm like so mature for my age. And looking back, like I was not, I didn't have a clue, you know, like.
You did. I had a clue.
Well, I mean, kind of.
I know. Like, I'm just kidding.
I'm this 24-year-old girl going on this TV show for a fun experience, but like our season was a little different where it wasn't all fun and games because there was a kid involved.
Yeah.
You know, like I thought I was ready to like take on this role of stepmom. I didn't have a clue.
Right. No, I think that you're right. I think that age definitely, or at least life experience, because there are people who are younger who have more life experience. So I think it's just about getting out there into the world and really experiencing life and the world and dating and getting to know different kinds of people so that you understand who you are and what you want out of life. Another big thing for me were deal breakers. So to me, having a family, having children was number one on my deal breaker list. So if anyone, and actually all the guys on my season were into having a family. So that was an easy one, but that you need to think about the deal breakers. You know, if there's something that you have always wanted out of life, to become a mother or to have a career or to live a certain place, then make sure that you are really honest with yourself and the people that you're dating about those deal breakers, because if they come up, then it's better to just cut ties right away than to draw things out and stay with the person, because the deal breakers will come up, you know?
Yeah. And I think so often people think like, oh, I can change that about him. Like I can change him.
Right.
Like, you and I, like the reality is people don't change. Like it's still, maybe they like shift a little bit, or maybe it happens for a short period of time, but people ultimately always go back to who they truly are, you know?
Completely. So I feel like if there's any, you know, if I had asked any guy if they wanted to have a family and they were kind of like wishy-washy on it, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be good with kids. Then I would be like, red flag. I don't know if this is the guy for me, you know?
Yeah.
And then also I have a funny story. So, on The Bachelorette, there was a guy named Brooke Pemberton. I think his like title was literally cowboy. Okay. So
what does that even mean?
I don't know. He's actually now a nurse, but, and happily married and everything. But, so he's a cowboy and I'm allergic to horses.
And, oh my God. Okay. So this would never work.
Well, that's what I thought. I said to him, we had this sit down conversation and I was like, Brooke, look, I love you as a person. I think you're hysterical and we have great chemistry and so much fun together. But the fact that you hang around horses all day, I don't know that we're necessarily compatible. And you know what he called me? He called me superficial.
That's like a medical issue. That is not superficial.
Thank you. Yes. I was like, no. Superficial is when you choose to not like something. I have no choice in the matter. I am allergic to horses. And if I'm around you every day, which I would hope, if we're going to get married, and you're going to be around horses every day, I will break out in hives every day and not be able to see because my eyes will be like,
oh my God,
exploded. So
anyway, did you get rid of him early on? Like right away?
I did. Not right away. Cause I don't know that I found out that he was a cowboy until, not funny. Until a little bit later, it might've been like 15 or something like, or eight. I don't know. And they change it all. Like it used to be like 25 to 15 to 12 to 8, whatever. And now it's all different. So I don't know. You're right. I don't remember anything about my season except for little things like that.
Right.
So I think the deal breakers are things that if anyone's out there dating right now and you know what you want out of life, you know that you want a family, you know that you can't be around horses.
Right.
Don't date a cowboy.
Yeah.
Another funny story from my season is there was a guy who, so Lisa Levinson was one of my exec producers. And before the show started, they actually, they took bets on who I would take until the end. And this one guy gets out of the limo and you know how they like make them like button up their jacket or whatever. So he gets out of the limo and he's buttoning up his jacket. And he's staring right at the camera, doesn't look at me at all, and is like staring at the camera. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
I think that it's pretty obvious that he is only there to be on camera.
Right.
And so I literally wanted to get rid of him the first night. We're back, like back in another room. And I said, I definitely want to get rid of him. And Lisa was like, what? No. And I'm like, yes. And she's like, no, because I bet that he was going to be the one in the end. And I'm like, I don't care.
I've got $20 on this. You got to keep him.
So yeah, he was gone. The priority for me then was to make sure that the guys were there for me, you know, that they weren't there just to be on television.
Yeah.
And I bet that's pretty hard for the people nowadays because a lot of it is about, you know, becoming Instagram famous and, you know, it's gotta be so much harder with social media for everybody.
I think too, so many people, even on the, I mean, this is very obvious on The Bachelor, but in real life, people try to, they have this idea of what they want, you know, like, okay, I'm 30 years old. I need to get married. I need to have a family. And so they settle and like Trista, you and I know from being married so long, you are stuck with this person for the rest of your life. So to kind of like almost coerce someone into liking you, like you're just setting yourself up for failure or a really miserable life going forward.
Right.
You know,
I totally agree. And that is the best piece of advice that I give anyone in the dating world these days. If anyone ever asks me, I feel like someone wrote me on Instagram. I did a little Q&A the other day. And they said something about being older and whether or not they should continue. And I'm like, yes, never settle, like never give in to not getting what you want out of a relationship, because you are so right. You're with this person for the rest of your life. At least that's what marriage is supposed to be.
Right.
So if you don't think that you can last forever long with someone, never settle, never give in to giving up what you feel like you deserve.
Right. And I think a lot of that is the pressure of like the unfair standards that women deal with these days. Like you got to get married, you got to have kids, you got to follow this timeline. So I have friends, I'm 36 and I have friends who still aren't married and they're panicked. They're like literally living their life in panic because they're like, it's not going to happen for me. I almost can't have kids anymore.
Yeah.
And now that I'm, you know, well into marriage, 10 years into marriage, it's like, this is your life. You got to just be happy with your everyday life and not be trying to hit this standard, you know?
Totally. Be easy on yourself. Give yourself some grace. I feel like in this day and age, grace is something that I feel like we all need to give more of, especially to ourselves.
Yeah.
So, okay. So second segment, we are actually going to do a little, question and answer session. I did a Q&A on my Instagram stories yesterday and people sent out such good questions. I was super impressed with the questions that everyone sent. So we are just going to take a quick break and then we'll get to the Q&A. All right, so we got some great questions and I'm really excited to get into answering these for people because I feel like they're pretty invested if they're gonna actually reach out and post their questions. So anyway, one of my favorite questions that was sent in was, what are the three most important things in a marriage. I actually talked to, so one of my best friends here, her dad is here as well. He's a good friend of ours. He's actually my ankle surgeon. he's a great guy, such a great guy and such a great marriage. Like, I feel like he and his wife have been married over 50 years probably. And they're just role models for me and love their relationship. So I feel like I asked them on one of their anniversaries what the key to their marriage was. And he had such good insight and said, I believe the top two things were forgiveness.
Oh,
which I was like, wow, you know what? If I, you know, I get asked, it's probably the number one question that I get asked is what is the secret to the success of our marriage? And I don't feel like I ever answered forgiveness. Forgiveness was not one of the ones that popped up. And ever since that conversation, I think he's so spot on, is because it's not just the big forgivenesses, you know, like if there's anything or a huge betrayal, you know, it's the little forgivenesses, the like things that we say in the heat of the moment, or
right,
the things that we don't do that we should have done. You know, those little things that happen on a daily basis, probably in a marriage, at least for us, because we are certainly not perfect. But, you know, I think it's those little forgivenesses to not only forgive your partner, but to forgive yourself for things that you've said in the heat of the moment, things that you haven't done or haven't done well, you know, in supporting right, your partner. Is that so, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think it goes along with like taking accountability, you know, like it is the hardest word in the English language is to yeah, say sorry. And I struggle with that all the time because I just want to be right. And like, I'm right, Jason's wrong. So I think right, as like years have gone on, you start to realize like, okay, this is stupid. Like, that was my fault. My bad. I'm sorry. You know, like just taking accountability for your actions.
Totally.
Same thing as forgiving yourself for the things that you've done.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really wise too. Accountability is huge. I think that also is like having fun together, doing things that you both enjoy. Like for Ryan and I, we love to travel and we love to go camping with the family. And I think making sure that you infuse a lot of those activities that bring you to life and make you happy, like to your core, are really important. Watching movies, like it's just, it's an easy thing, but it makes Ryan so happy. And so, and I love movies too. So why not just, you know, make time for each other
yeah,
so that you can do the things that you love.
Yeah. And I think it's having fun together without your kids. I think it's so easy to get right, caught up in like, I got to raise my kid here and here and we've got games and like, let's, you know, figure out our weekend plans like as a family. But in it, like your sense of relationship can get lost in that,
yeah,
in like, just
yeah,
like the family entity. And I think it's so important to do things just with you and your spouse so that you can just like reconnect and realize like, oh yeah, you exist too. Not just like the kids that I'm chasing after all day long, you know?
Oh, especially in this weird time during quarantine. And I don't know, are you guys starting back to school?
You're no,
doing
we're remote.
Sorry.
We're remote for the whole school year.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to be like a raging bee for the next 8 months for Jason. But yeah, ooh, like going along with that, like I've got to find time where like, I'm not just
so important,
dealing with the kids, doing the cooking, doing the cleaning and getting all festered up and angry that like, this is my life right now. I need
yes,
to just pause and take a moment and say, okay, like let's me and Jason go do something. It can be as simple as like, let's go for a walk around the block while the kids
totally,
are in the house, you know, like whatever it is.
Yes. I oh my gosh. I can't believe they made that decision to be remote all year. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I almost don't want to say this, but we're actually starting in-person learning, in
yeah,
a couple weeks, August 25th. We got the information yesterday. They based it on this KPI, this key performance indicator thing. That's either red, yellow, or green. And it's actually, I think it's still in red, but they put in a few more components into their decision and decided to do in-person learning. And I, like the worry in me was thinking, like, right how you are is, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a raging bee.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh my gosh. Well, I'm thinking of you. Holy
cow. Oh, thanks. Oh, we'll survive.
Call me anytime you want to vent.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think is the third most important thing? To me, there's a few different things, but obviously communication is pretty, pretty high up there. Because if you do not communicate, then things fester and you end up blowing up if something's bothering you. So I think that communication is really, really, really important.
I agree. Like, it sounds so cliche. I feel like that's everyone's answer, but like, if you don't communicate, like, everything else around you crumbles, you know, like, it can be the littlest things, communicating about plans and details and whatnot, but also communicating about how you're feeling, because I am so guilty of, I compartmentalize things really easily, but then it just sits and then it starts to fester and fester. And then like the littlest thing ticks me off and I explode. And he's like, whoa, where is this coming from? And if I would have just like told him along the way how I was feeling about something, the whole argument wouldn't have happened, you know?
Totally. I think also I'm going to tack on a fourth one is prioritizing your relationship. So I feel like for me in that question of how have we been able to be successful over the years, I think the biggest thing that set us off on the right track was me prioritizing him and where he lived and his job over the potential for me to do more hosting gigs and things in LA. Cause that was kind of my path at the time. I was hosting with like Good Morning America and Extra and Good Day LA and Good Day Live and, you know, a bunch of different places. And I could have very easily been like, no, but this is what I want. And instead of doing that, I prioritized our relationship above everything else. And I think that was one of the key things in our success. So,
yeah. And I think it goes for the whole family unit too, just being a little more selfless.
Yeah.
And realizing like the world, and that also comes with age, you know, realizing the world doesn't revolve around you and it's all about you. And there's these other people that are in your life that need to be taken care of too.
Completely. 100%. Okay. Moving on. Next question. I would love to know this. How, if you're okay talking about it, how is your relationship with Ty's mom?
And yeah.
How
is
good.
That
like, work?
I've literally never talked about this in an interview before.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We've got an exclusive, people.
Yeah. We have a really, really good relationship, but it wasn't always that way. It took quite a few years in the beginning for us to like really get in a groove. We're two very different people. Our personalities are different. How we live life is very different. And I was the random girl coming in, you know, starting to help
from a TV show,
take care of her kid. And I'm like super type A, super OCD, very organized. And I feel like if you're not that way, that can be annoying. It can probably be intimidating. And it took us years, but we finally got into a really good groove. And honestly, her and I communicate more than her and Jason. Like we text every day. Like you got to make it work because we're scheduling a kid who's going back and forth, who's really involved in sports and extracurriculars. And there would be fights in the beginning, but I think we both realized it's just easier to get along. Like we are in this for the long haul. We're stuck together for many, many years. So let's just get along. And it works. Like I give her kids birthday presents and Christmas presents every year, and they're always welcome in our home. And when we're sitting at Ty's basketball games, we're sitting right next to each other and we make it work. It's great. And I know that's not always the case for other people. So we feel really lucky and blessed that we can be in this good space together because it's made life really easy. And most importantly, it's made life amazing for Ty.
Right. Exactly. And that's the biggest thing is prioritizing your kids and their wellness and their happiness above all else. So I think that it speaks to you and Jason and her maturity in it all, you know, and being able to like put grudges aside or put like hurt feelings of the relationship before not working out or whatever. It speaks to both of, well, all three of you and how mature you are and how you are prioritizing your kids.
I think the best piece of it, people do constantly ask, like, how do you deal with like an ex that you don't want to deal with or whatever? And I think the best piece of advice that I was ever given years ago was like, think about the situation that's making you mad right now. And will it matter 1 year from today? Will you still be thinking about this moment 1 year from today? And if the answer is no, then stop caring, you know, like, and it can be the dumbest things, like, oh, I want to switch the schedule. And like, if you're contentious, like that makes you angry, but like, does it in a year from now, are you going to be worried about how the schedule was changed for a day? No, you're not. So like, stop caring about it.
You won't even remember. Yeah. Exactly. I remember, I mean, looking back at like fights or arguments or whatever, I'll be like, why was I bothered? What were we even fighting about? So you're so right. Like thinking about it in the future and whether or not it's going to matter is what matters now. Like you should pay attention to that. Oh, that's so important. So I hope that, I'm glad that things are great and I hope it continues. Yeah. I can't imagine why it wouldn't.
Been great. Awesome. We're really lucky. Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Let's get to another question. This is really interesting actually. Did you talk about religion and politics with your guys on the show and were they factors? And you know, like you just said, or in the beginning, you don't really remember the taping this season. I don't remember either. And I don't remember individual conversations, but I will say that I try to refrain from talking politics with really anyone because I feel like everyone is entitled to their opinion. And I don't want my relationships getting affected by their views on politics. So I don't know that it actually ever came up for me. And I just got really lucky in that Ryan and I see each other or see everything very similarly in terms of politics. Did you talk to Jason?
Well, it was an interesting situation for us because I grew up like in a very, very Catholic family. I went to private Catholic school from kindergarten all the way through high school. And Jason is Jewish.
Right.
So we come from very, very different backgrounds. But I was in a place in my life after, probably when I went to college and after, where I was kind of wanting to find my own way versus like this belief and religion that was kind of handed to me when I was growing up. And so I was in a place where I'm like, I'm open to learning about new things, exploring new things and seeing life from a different perspective. So it never like turned me off that Jason was had this other belief system than I did. So it was never an issue. I don't even know that it's something we had like a sit down conversation about either.
Yeah.
It's kind of something we just like blended and made it work.
Totally. And I think that if you find that person that you make it work, you know, like I would hope that if you're in a relationship with someone who sees things differently, then you respect each other. I mean, respect has to be one of the key components of a relationship too. There's so many. But if you respect each other, then it shouldn't matter what you believe. Although in today's day and age, I just feel like feelings about politics especially and religion is so heightened with everything going on in the world. So I do think that it is wise to at least discuss it before you, you know, tie the knot or make it official, because it can get pretty heated, I feel like, these days. I mean, I will do this, and I know that tons of people that I know do it, but even Facebook friends, if they go off too much on a tangent or an extreme, they kind of are preaching at me and not, you know, welcoming a conversation about it, then I am really apt to kind of mute them or unfollow or whatever. And so I feel like in the world in general, it's about respect, and we need to really respect each other's opinions and views and have a a conversation about it instead of attacking each other for how we all feel.
Yeah, I think people just need to be reminded that not everyone thinks the same way, and that's right. Okay.
Totally. It's okay. We're all human. We all have our own opinions and beliefs. And I think it's about respect and anyway, I think that's a really interesting conversation or question based on what's going on in the world today, you know?
Right.
And then another one, this kind of ties into our next segment, but it is with so much emphasis on women being independent. What are your feelings about men being chivalrous? And the reason it ties into our next segment is, to me, it kind of taps into how I want Max to be and what I'm trying to help him become as a man, as a future man. And what kind of characteristics I want him to emulate as a man in the future. So being chivalrous came up in a conversation that I was having with some friends recently. And one of them was saying that, how do we as mothers encourage our kids to be chivalrous and, like, you know, men opening a door. How do you get your kids to open a door? And one of them was talking about how her son is older and he actually was taught from his father to open the door, of the car or whatever, walking in somewhere, for the, you know, the woman he was dating. And I guess his current girlfriend noticed it on their first date. And he got major points for being chivalrous and actually just opening the door. Right. And it really, really brought to mind for me that I need to help Max understand that that's really important. Because, you know, I feel like in the South, you know, if you go to Texas or I don't know, anywhere in the South, everyone's saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, they have the best manners. And I feel like in the mountains, we're kind of in this little isolated bubble and manners are important. Like anytime I feel like I have him go hang out with a friend or have a sleepover or whatever, I'm always like, use your manners, say please and thank you, you know, all of those things. It's really important. But it's not like in Texas or whatever, where they're like, every single time they speak, they're like, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Yeah. So I want him to have those qualities. And I do feel like women are, it's important for women to be independent. Now it was important to me back, you know, when I was in college, when I was after, when I was on The Bachelorette, I am a very independent woman and that is important to me, but I think that they can coexist. I think that, men should be chivalrous and I really personally want to raise a boy to be a man who is chivalrous.
Well, I think there's super easy ways you can do that, Trista. Like if you guys are going out for dinner, okay, and you're walking into a restaurant, take an opportunity the next time you go to a restaurant to be like, hey, you know what, Max? Like, it's really polite when the boy opens the door for the girl. So when we start walking in, why don't you open the door for me and Blakesley?
Yeah.
Or Ty went to homecoming this past year and it was his first high school dance. And I sat down with him that day and I was like, listen, it's kind of chilly out. If your date is getting cold, it is your job to take your jacket off and offer it to her to make sure that she is okay. And then I was like, you are in charge. I mean, this is kind of old school, but I was like, you know, because it's a dance, like, I think you should be paying for her meal, you know, and just like always make sure she's comfortable and she's happy and she's included in the conversation. And so it's like little life moments like that, where you can take the opportunity to jump right in and teach them these like little manners that will go a long way.
Yes. Right. I think it's so important. So I loved that question. I mean, I think that if you are in the dating world right now and you're listening to this podcast, it's really important to look for a guy who is thoughtful and thinks about you. Just like you were saying, takes off his jacket, holds open the door, includes you in conversations, just is thoughtful and kind, whether that's chivalrous or not. I feel like thoughtfulness and kindness goes a long way.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So next segment, unless you want to answer any of the other questions, you good?
Oh no, I'm good.
Okay, cool. So let's move on to the next segment. But first we're going to take a break and then we'll introduce our special guest. All right. we are back, and this next segment is talking about kids and helping them navigate the world of dating, which, oh my gosh, is so scary to me.
I'm already in it.
So I'm excited to hear your perspective as well as our guests, because she's an expert. But before we bring her on, I just kind of wanted to talk about where you're at, where I'm at, and get started there.
Okay.
So why don't you go?
So Ty has been dating since like the sixth grade. He is just like his father. So we've been dealing with girl issues with him for forever. And he's going to be a sophomore now in high school. And he doesn't currently have a girlfriend. But the most important thing that I think has helped us go through this phase with him is creating an open line of communication. So Ty is now at the point where like he comes home from school and he just like word vomits to me, and he literally tells me, he has me like looking at the text conversation with these girls and like asking how to respond. And the way we got to that point is like when he first started having girlfriends, we'd ask questions but we didn't react. It was kind of like, because you didn't want to scare him off. Like if he says something crazy, like, oh, I kissed a girl, and us going, what?
Right. And that
scares him off from wanting to talk to us ever again. So every time he would have a conversation with us or ask for advice, I kind of treated it like, okay, I'm just talking to a friend. Let's help him get through this, but not necessarily act like a parent and tell him what he has to do, what he shouldn't do. And so it's gotten us to a really good place where he will tell us anything going on, which is the best. You know,
that's amazing.
Like, I think so many parents handle, and you know, when our guest comes on, like, she'll have better perspective, I'm sure, on what the right or wrong thing is to do. And I don't know if we're doing it right.
I'm sure you're doing it right.
I feel pretty good in the fact that like Ty feels comfortable coming to us when he does have questions. And in fact, the other night he had a friend over and they came walking out of the bonus room and I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, we got to talk to you. And I'm like, what do you have to talk to me about? And his friend was like, I need some advice. I'm having some girl problems. So even his friends now feel like they can come and ask. And like, it is just like the coolest thing ever. Like, Trista, if I can tell you anything, like just keep an open line of communication with him so that Max feels comfortable asking you these questions versus feeling scared and then maybe doing something wrong, you know? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I really, really, really hope that I will be there, because I constantly say that the open lines of communication, I feel like, are so important. Because recently, within the past couple of years, we've had the sex talk, and, you know, and this is with Max and Blakesley as well. So, Max, actually, if you know my son at all, if you've seen my Instagram posts, he is just like his dad in terms of personality. He is very introverted and very, let's say, non-expressive. he doesn't talk a lot. Like word vomit, oh my gosh, if I could get to that point with him, it would be a miracle. But it's just because he is, like, literally the other day, we were just having a conversation about talking. He was like, I would ask a question, he'd be like, or whatever, like, give me like a one word answer. And we kind of got in a little argument. It's like, not that we were raising our voices or anything, but I was like, it's really difficult to connect with you, because I want to be able to talk to you. And if you're not talking to me, I don't know what's going on in your life and I can't be there for you. Anyway, he just said that he doesn't like to talk, and Ryan doesn't either. He's just like his dad. Yeah. So with him, I know it will be a different situation, and he could care less about girls right now. He's going into seventh grade and is not like Ty. He could care less. He's all hockey all the time or video games or whatever. So there's Max. And then Blakesley is going into sixth grade. And everyone in her grade is boy and girl crazy. They are all about who's dating who and who kissed who. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm really nervous about bringing up Blakesley in a dating environment. So I'm really, really looking forward to the advice from our guest coming up. But yeah, I want to get to that place so badly, Molly. So I feel like, I feel like that's really good advice, to just listen and be there for them and not offer judgment. I feel like, so in our world, TikTok was taking over, at least for Blakesley. So her friends all were getting TikTok. They don't have any social media, and I'd love to hear if Ty has social media and all that after this. But I do not want my kids on social media for as long as possible. And I allowed her to get TikTok, both the kids, but for Blakesley, it was kind of becoming an obsession. And one of my friends, one of her friends' moms came to me and said, "Have you seen Blakesley's TikToks lately? There's some words that are being said, you know, some cuss words, some actions like going like this that she doesn't understand at all." Yeah. And I was like, yeah, "Oh my gosh, I have to have a conversation with her." And I sat down with her, and it was very similar to, I feel like, what you're explaining. I was just like, "You know what? We just have to talk, because I feel like this is getting a little too crazy. And I feel like you're choosing TikTok over your friends. I don't want you to lose friends because of this. And I also feel like it's really important what you put out into the world. And I feel like what you're putting out into the world in some of these TikToks is just not appropriate for your age." And I was like, "So I think, you know," I said, "what do you think we should do?" And she just sat there for a minute, and I said, you know what I think? And she said, "You think we should get rid of it?" And I said, "Yeah, I think we should." And she said, "You know what? You're right." And it was just because it was a conversation that we were just having a conversation. I wasn't getting heated. I wasn't judging. So it kind of paved the way for her to, like, it's little conversations like that that I feel like happen throughout our days together that you're so right. Like, if I'm able to just be there for her, talk it through with her, make her kind of understand where I'm coming from, but not be like, "I'm your mom and this is how it's going to be." Make sure it's a two-way street with her being able to communicate with me and me being able to communicate with her in a way that's age appropriate, obviously.
Right.
Is so important. So yeah, thank you for that. I love that tip, because I really would like to get to the place where they both feel like they can come.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, tone, you know, like, even saying something to Max, like, "So do you have a girlfriend?" Like, that's like, of course he's not going to answer. But if you're like, "Hey, are you dating anyone right now?" If you keep it, like, casual and cool, I think they're more willing to open up.
Totally. You're so right. And you know what? We're very like sarcastic, kind of fun loving family. And I feel like that comes up, like, Blakesley will say, "So Max, who are you dating?" And he definitely feels like, "I don't want to tell my sister."
Right.
And I don't want to tell anyone, because that's how I feel like I'm, like, the way that it's being said to me is in a condescending way. So I totally agree. I think that's so, so, so important. And I feel like our next guest is going to have, well, actually our only guest, is going to have really great tips for both of us. Dr. Hillary Goldscher is an expert on kids and dating. You're a psychologist, correct?
That's right. Yes.
Yes. So please tell us more about what you study, what you do in your daily life, and what makes you an expert.
Yes. Well, I am a clinical psychologist. I'm in Beverly Hills. And one of my areas of expertise is parenting. And so I work with parents to sort of improve communication, to deal with behavioral issues and struggles, and kind of to create a family environment where there's lots of love and room to grow, but also good boundaries. So
love it.
So those are the things that make me an expert. And I have my own little ones at home. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. So
amazing.
In it as well. Yes.
Yeah. So that makes you an expert right there. Not even your degree.
It's the combination.
Okay, I am so excited to talk to you, because I feel like Ryan and I are on the precipice of the day. Dating's Max is 13 and he's going into 7th grade, and Blakesley is 11 and she is going into 6th grade. And I feel like information is knowledge. So anything I can learn and absorb and take with me on this journey of being a parent and, you know, kind of ushering my kids into the dating world is so welcome and appreciated. So thank you for being here. My first question for you is I feel like looking back on how I was in my early relationships, I put guys' needs and wants and desires above my own. And I really feel like it's important for Blakeslee to, that her self-respect remain intact. And I feel like that's so important for young girls these days, is to make sure that they are putting their needs and their desires and their wants above the person that they're dating, and not prioritizing their relationship, but prioritizing their self in the themselves in the relationship, as well as the relationship. How can I encourage Blakeslee, and how can our listeners encourage their kids to prioritize their self-respect over their relationships?
Such a good question. And I think one of the mindsets that you have to come to this with is that it is a process, right? That mm-hmm. it's not a sprint, but a marathon. From a parental standpoint, this is a learning environment for our kids, especially when they're as young as yours, sixth and seventh grade. So our job as parents is, of course, to try to influence our kids based on our experiences, the things that we've learned, the wisdoms that we've gained, to create room for them to have their own experience, their own tendencies to try out and learn. And so I think it's really important to have patience, that you put forth your ideas, your notions about what you've learned. That, hey, Blakeslee, like, one thing I've really learned, that it's really important to leave room for self-care, that it's really important to leave room to prioritize yourself, that it really is important to, yes, prioritize the person that you're dating, but to also create an environment where self-care is a priority. And she may push back, she may protest, she may shrug her shoulders and not really say anything in return, but mm-hmm. knowing that you're creating a narrative for them that they can kind of put in their pocket and borrow mm-hmm. from as needed. I think parents get frustrated quickly that their kids seem like they're not listening, or that they're not interested, or they're even pushing back on what they're saying. I know, Mom, I know, and sort of forecasting a discussion, but I wouldn't worry about that. I know from my own kids and from parents that I work with that I keep putting forth ideas to my kids and know that they're listening, and know that when the time comes that they're struggling or they're unsure, that they will borrow from those things. So mm-hmm. I think the idea is to be consistent and patient. And I was sort of eavesdropping on your conversation before, and casual, that you don't address it in a way that feels dramatic or scary or like a big deal conversation, but that you say mm-hmm. like, hey, here are things that I think are really important that I want you to think about, and we can chat about it or not. But if you ever have any thoughts or feelings or ideas about it, like, I'm here. And then you can find relevant opportunities to say, like, hey, remember we talked about that thing? This is such a good example where it feels like you kind of prioritize the kiddo that you're dating. And you know what? I just want you to remember that self-care is so important, kind of thing. So reinforcing and creating that narrative, and not getting discouraged when they don't agree with us or engage with us when we're initiating these kind of conversations.
So how do we as parents navigate kind of like teaching our kids about, you know, prioritizing or the dating world when this era we're in is so different from how we grew up, you know, with social media and phones? Like, we didn't have any of that. We had to like call on a landline to get a hold of our boyfriend, you know, like it's just such a different day and age for these kids to be going through their adolescent years. So it's not like we can even relate to what they're going through.
It's true. That is true. We don't have direct experience in that regard, and being that young and having so much access to our friends mm-hmm. and our romantic, you know, partners at that age. So you're right. We can't directly relate, but I would say the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that question is boundaries, that we can't be afraid as parents to frustrate our kids. We can't be afraid to make them unhappy. We can't be afraid when they're mad at us. And it is like a big, scary social media world out there, and having access all day long is not probably a good idea. So I would first say limitation, that, you know, whatever the number is, but that you have a certain number of hours that your kid can do social media, that they're off the phone by, you know, 9 o'clock or whatever their bedtime is, that there's just limitations so that their access and the emotional triggers and the stimulus that comes from being engaged in that way is diversified. You know, it's not just bolus doses of that kind of interaction all day long, every day. Kids need a break. And so their minds can just be free and they can relax and process and kind of decompress. So I would say the first thing to do is to figure out what your family protocol is around social media and implement it. And then the second thing I would say is ask questions. And sometimes you're going to get no answer. You're going to get like, I don't want to talk about it. But sometimes you're going to have kids who will return to a dialogue that you initiated. What's it like for you? What's that like to be on social media all the time? Is it like always really fun or can it be stressful? Is it anxiety provoking? And talk about with them the parts that are fun and also focus on if they're willing to share the parts that are frustrating and scary so we can learn from them what it's like to be, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old and being trying to navigate social dynamics kind of 24/7. That's a lot of pressure for a kid. A lot of pressure for a kid.
How do you, so I have a very, I don't know if you heard this part, but my son is very introverted and reserved and it's hard for him to express himself. He doesn't like to talk is what he literally just told me last week. How is there a way, or do you have any specific questions that I can use to be able to help him communicate with me so that I can help him navigate social and relationships in the future?
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts about that. I think what I was saying before is really important, that with a kid that tends to be introverted, we of course don't want to push and put pressure because that usually closes them up more, right? And so I would directly say to him, like, I heard you last week. I heard what you said, that like, you don't like to talk and I respect that. So what you're going to see, honey, is me putting out ideas that I think are important for you to hear. And you can kind of take them or leave them. You can pocket them for later, whatever you think. But that's kind of my job as your mama. And it's something I really want to do for you. So you know, if I'm hitting you at a time where you feel like you don't want to listen, just let me know. But otherwise, I'm just going to put things out for you and you can, you know, consider them or not, because I have a lot of experience. I have a lot of things that I want to say for you to think about as you kind of navigate, you know, your years. And so that kind of gives him an opportunity to listen, maybe without tension or pressure, that he feels like, okay, I don't have to say anything, right? I can just listen and decide to comment or not. So I would make that like a plan with him and give him space if he says like, I'm not in the mood. But I bet a lot of times that he will not say that and he will listen and take it in and feel some relief not having to respond, right?
I love that. Take
him off the hook in that sense.
Yeah. Well, actually I kind of did that the next day. So it's not like I got mad at him, but I was just like, I would love to be able to talk to you because I think as your mom, like I want to make sure that you're happy. And so I need to be able to communicate with you. And so the next day I realized after our conversation that he's just like Ryan and just like Ryan, or my relationship with Ryan, as anyone who's seen both of us in an interview, I kind of take the reins because he hates to talk. And so I've kind of been like given this reputation that I'm kind of a bully when it comes to that. And like, I don't let him talk, but I try to be like helpful in that I know that he doesn't like to talk. So I just kind of take over. And I recognize that in my husband. I recognize that it is not something that is comfortable for him. So, and I respect that. And I need to respect that about Max. So the next day I said, dude, I'm so sorry that I put this pressure on you to talk to me. I know it's not something that you are comfortable with and it gives you anxiety. And I don't want that to be the case. So I just want you to know that I'm here for you and I want to talk to you and I just want to connect with you. I love the person that you are and I like you and I want to like communicate. So that's where I was coming from. And I just want you to know that. So we definitely had that conversation afterwards. And, but I love the giving him the ability to not have to answer, to not feel pressured to answer me. I feel like goes right along with what Molly was saying in opening the lines of communication with her and Ty and how Ty and his friends are coming to them for advice because they know it's a safe place. They know they're not going to get judged. They know they are just there to help them navigate it, you know?
Yes. First of all, I love that you did that with Max. That's so perfect. I always tell parents that like, if you don't get things right the first time, which we will all do many, many times, you can always go back and say, God, yeah, I blew that. So sorry.
Totally.
I thought about it. I really realized that this is what I wanted to say to you. This was what I was trying to convey. That's so healing. And that in and of itself creates such an open environment that will serve you over time. And the other thing that's coming up for me, it may or may not resonate for your particular family, but like, is, I don't know if he likes to bike ride or to run or to do some physical activity. Oftentimes that's when kids will start talking. If you're jogging side by side or riding a bike side by side or going for a walk or something, sometimes kids will tend to just begin to kind of do, an unconscious dumping of, happen. So that's an environment where you might be able to catch him. And again, this may or not be an idea that resonates, but offering other options, like, you know what, if you ever feel like talking, write me a note, send me an email. I can put like a box in our room of like any questions that come up or any scenarios you want to run past me, and we can communicate that way. We don't have to look at each other, kind of thing, letting him know that there are ways to reach you and kind of mobilize your wisdom that don't have to be uncomfortable for him. It's so age appropriate for some kids to be that way and want to kind of shut down and not share their more vulnerable emotions. But what's the most important thing is that you're sending him the message, all of those feelings are welcome here.
Yeah.
However you want to deliver them or have them show up, I'm open to, but they are welcome here.
Like, awesome.
That's kind of what you want him to leave with.
It's almost kind of like the best way to go about like conversations with these teenagers is like making them feel like they are a part of the conversation. It's almost like they reject things when they feel like they're being talked at versus like talked with.
Yeah. I feel like anybody is like that.
Yeah.
If I feel like I'm being talked at, I don't want to be part of the conversation.
That's right. I think, and so that real, what you were just saying, Molly, really supports the approach of sort of putting things out there for them to grab onto or not. You know, as opposed to being talked to, like, this is what you need or this is what we're going to do kind of vibe to it. I know that's not what you're saying to yourself, but having the idea of like, I'm going to put forth like a bunch of ideas to you. And you could say that to him. You could just narrate the process. I was really thinking about how I could make sure that there's still an open two-way street between us in terms of communication. I want to respect that a lot of times you don't want to talk, you don't want to share your feelings, but here are some ideas I came up with. I'm going to be putting some things out in the atmosphere and you can take them or leave them. And I'm putting like a box in my room where you can put like a note or ask a question, or I'm going to create like a secret email account that you can email me at, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that you know, anytime, day or night, your feelings, your thoughts, your stories are welcome and you can kind of take it or not, which kind of goes to what Molly was saying. Yeah.
So good. I love it. Because my daughter is so boy crazy. And how do I navigate that? And really, in, I guess, just general information for any parents out there whose children are starting to be boy crazy or girl crazy, and I feel like that's just a term that I'm using in terms of they're starting to become interested in having a relationship with someone other than their friends or their parents, or their family members. So in general, how can we be good parents and helping our kids navigate dating, especially when they're boy crazy or girl crazy?
Yeah. My first piece of advice is to kind of take the tension, the hold that it has on it by sort of saying like, so fun, right? Isn't it so much fun to discover boys? It's so cool. Great. Awesome. Like, to not push up against it, because I think there's that tendency in parents to want to like contain it and minimize it or even put it off or make it go away. But to lean into it, well, I think in some cases minimize the kind of crazy energy that's around it, that like, right, you discovered something so fun. Great. It's so much fun to watch. Have that casual vibe around it when they talk about it. Mm-hmm. And their boundaries. I mean, they're just boundaries in terms of how much they can be. I know we're in the middle of COVID, it's a pandemic, so there's limitations anyway, but how much they can be texting or on social media around that stuff, that like you have thoughts and ideas and you implement them around like how much time they're spending communicating with boys that they're interested in. And I would say to her that like, I love it. It's so much fun, but there's only like an hour a day that I'm really going to allow you to kind of play around with that stuff. Otherwise we're going to do family stuff and you can hang out with your girlfriends. Yeah. And if she asks why or pushes back that, like, look, it's so much fun, such a great hobby and something you'll like enjoy for the rest of your life. But you're, I think you said she was 11. Yeah. But you're 11 and this is the amount of time that I think it's appropriate for you to spend on this. And so you're both supporting the hobby, but you're also creating some structure.
Yeah. Molly, do you have limitations and guidelines in terms of how much Ty can be on social or texting or whatever?
Ty is like this anomaly, strange kid. And it was maybe, I don't know, a month ago where he was like, he has Instagram and he's like, I'm deleting it off my phone. And I was like, why? And he's like, I'm on it too much. And I'm like, like, I need to say that to myself,
right?
You know, like, he's just like a really self-aware, good kid. Yeah. And he's in this phase right now where he's just more occupied with working out and playing sports. And so it doesn't consume his life. But if that were to happen, we would put limitations on it. Cause I think that's so important. And Jason and I say to each other all the time, we need to lead by example. And it's so easy for us at the end of the night to just sit there, be scrolling on our phones. And so it's more like Jason and I checking in with each other saying, okay, this has kind of been out of control the past few days. Like, let's take a break, put the phones down so the kids can see the phones aren't consuming our lives.
Yeah. That's so important.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have anything else, words of wisdom wise, Dr. Goldshear, that you'd like to share?
Yeah. I think just on the topic to wrap it up, and it sounds like based on your approach, you're already doing this, but to just create a super open environment with your daughter, you know, as you're engaging in this like whole new thing, you can just ask her, what are your thoughts? What are your feelings? What's super fun about it? What's like creates anxiety or worries you? You know, letting her know that you're available for any dialogue around that stuff is really important. And I think, like we were saying at the top of our discussion, that you can start putting forth little notions, ideas that you know to be true about how managing one's dating life is super important. Maintaining self-respect, maintaining boundaries, maintaining space for yourself, et cetera, that you can put little stories or notions out to her again, so she can kind of put them in her pocket and use them later. And I often with my kids, I mean, my older one is 5, but I'll make up examples. My 5-year-old, if he's nervous to go do something, I'll sort of say, I remember when I was really nervous to go to my new job that first day. And he wants all the details. Right. Because he really wants to know, oh, my mom had those feelings. She felt vulnerable. How did she handle it? So that's another way that you can maybe reach her, that like, remember when I was really into this guy named Billy and I thought about it all the time. And then later I realized maybe it was better that I used some of my time to play with my friends and some of my time to think about Billy, kind of thing. So finding ways to create a dialogue that might pull her in is a really good idea too.
Awesome.
I feel like we're going to be parents of the year, Trista. We're going to amazing. Bring on 2021.
Please.
Yeah.
Please bring on 2021. Awesome. Well, thank you, Dr. Goldshear, for sharing your words of wisdom. It is so welcome. And, you know, anytime you want to share, just please share. Are you on, how can people follow you or
on
listen
Instagram,
to,
are you, yeah. On Instagram, Dr. Hillary Goldshear, and then my website, drhillarygoldshear.com.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Awesome. All right, I'm going to go there right now.
So nice to meet you guys.
You too.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Okay, Molly, this was so fun.
Thank
you
so
for
fun.
Joining me. I'm so glad you did
it. You and I could sit and talk for like 5 hours straight.
Longer.
Yeah.
I don't think Jason and Ryan would be too happy with that. But
no.
Or our kids. But yeah. You know, anytime. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you to, I know, it's so fun. And then Dean and Jared, thank you guys for allowing us to kind of steal your show for a day. It was great for me, especially from a parenting perspective. And I hope that we were able to help some people out there who are navigating this crazy dating world. And, you know, continue to listen to Help I Suck at Dating, because we will too.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
Thanks.